This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is NBA Free Agency Day. I was about to say happy NBA Free Agency Day, but I don't know how many people are going to be in the celebratory mood. So here's my question. Which event are you more excited about? Free agency starting today or tomorrow being Corey's birthday? 877-881-1053. These are the questions that matter today.
I mean, I'm excited about Corey's birthday. I thought when you were comparing them, like you were like, which are you more excited about? I thought you were going to mention that thing you talked about in the pre-show meeting that you wanted to do over.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
All right. Okay.
We will try to stay as politics-free as possible. Thank you very much, Bobby. All right.
Got
so is it going to end up being a good free agency day? And let me ask you this for the Dallas Mavericks is we've kind of all, or at least it feels like we've come to the acceptance that Jalen Brunson is leaving. Am I a chump? Because I think I am a chump. Don't just answer that question in general. Am I a chump because I'm like, well, at least we get a meeting with Jalen Brunson. That could matter. And some of his teammates are going to be there. Or is the fact that the meetings are just taking place in New York kind of tipping their hand that like, well, you know, come on.
Yeah, I think that that kind of tip. I think it's more just like, you know, Jalen Brunson's a solid guy who has a lot of respect for the organization. And so it's like, look, I'm gonna hear you out,
yeah,
and I'll be a man to tell you I'm going to the Knicks.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Of course,
you were
are you buying at all? I know nobody really is, but are you buying at all the dark horse Heat, or do you think that's just a? Because it reminds me so much of like the Rangers having to fly to their meetings with Cliff Lee, and everybody's like, Rangers or Yankees, Rangers or Yankees. And then it's like, oh, no, it's the Phillies.
Well, you found out that's related because remember what the difference was, traffic and the highways. That's why we really needed to address that is what does Jalen Brunson and his family think about traffic in the Metroplex? Because that could end up being the deciding factor, just like it was with Cliff Lee. I see the appeal of the Miami Heat. They're a damn good team. They have a good infrastructure in place that I feel like is among the most well-regarded in the league. I guess I'm still of the opinion that if he leaves and it's not to the Knicks, I will be fairly stunned.
I will too. I mean, I feel like that's pretty much a slam dunk at this point. If he does return to the Mavericks, which is more likely, you think, that he wanted to stay here and he took less money to do it, or that the Mavericks ponied up and decided that they broke?
100%. I think it's the second one. Well, let me try that again. 99%. I think it's the second one. I would be lovely if Luka or Kleba or whoever pulled on the heartstrings and he's like, you know what? I don't want to leave. I want to finish this thing and win a championship. But I think it's more likely they would be like, we could go 5 years for, I don't know, $150 million. And you're like, holy moly. I think that would be the only difference. That would
matching the money doesn't work in this instance.
I don't believe so.
I think they've got to go over. I think if it's supposed to be 27.5 or whatever it is from the Knicks, I think you got to go to at least 30.
Yes.
And then if you can say, well, we'll give you 30 and 5 years, then it's like, well, yeah, I'll hang around.
No, I am inclined to believe that. But I know the logic is, you don't know until it's official. So, like, free agency isn't even supposed to really be open until 5 o'clock today and Central. And I know a lot of people are like, hey, where's that tampering case? All right, well, maybe we'll see. So I still feel like I have this tiniest glimmer of hope that Jalen Brunson will come back once free agency opens at 5 o'clock, and I get it. I'm probably a chump. I understand all of the reasons from being the primary ball handler, having the opportunity to be the star, being able to play in an organization run by your former agent, being able to play on a team that one of the coaches is your dad, being able to play in the most famous arena in the world. I understand every single one of those things.
It's the Knicks. That's the one thing you got to take in the gun. It's the Knicks, too. And you would think that that would matter to somebody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the question is, all right, if you go, let's run this exercise out.
Mm-hmm.
If Jalen Brunson is gone, which I feel like most people, although maybe you can help me out, just text in if you could. I would appreciate it. 877-881-1053, truckwreck.com. Go or stay for Jalen Brunson. And maybe we can see if, like, everyone is pretty much on the same page, because maybe I'm off on this. You can text in Knicks or Mavs, whatever you see fit. But the thought exercise I wanted to run after this is, what are the next moves for the Mavericks if Jalen Brunson is, in fact, gone? Now, clearly you could wade back in to potentially the trade space, but more realistically, you're looking at vet minimums like Goran Dragic, and then whatever you do with your taxpayer mid-level exception.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's probably not going to be anybody that gets them really excited.
All right, so let's just throw out the idea of Goran Dragic and Gary Payton II.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you lose, so if you look at the bigger picture, you lose Jalen Brunson, you bring in Christian Wood, Goran Dragic, Gary Payton II. Do you view that as an overall upgrade?
Yeah, I would.
I do too.
Just because I think Christian Wood's really good.
Okay. I see, and I think that too. And so I get that this team is better with Jalen Brunson, but the idea that the Mavericks fall to obscurity without Jalen Brunson, I think, is off base for sure.
Yeah, I think the idea of, like we talked about the other day, like you'd be it's letting Steve Nash go. Like, okay. Throttle back severely, because it's not that. Look, I think he's a good player. And like we've talked about, I think it's incredibly valuable the way we've been able to see how he plays with and without Luka, and like how he can change up his game, and how he can kind of, you know, be a chameleon. He can do whatever they need him to do in, you know, whatever the context of the rotation is. And so I think that's very valuable, and that's something that's really hard to find, and that's worth a lot of money. And it's not just worth it because he can do those things. It's he does them well. Like, he's a good player in all of those roles that he has to take on. But like, there are still limitations with him as a basketball player.
Yeah.
That don't add up to that type of money, I don't think. And I know you don't get the cap space in a year. You don't get the cap space in 2 years. But like, if you're 2 years into this and you're blocked from adding a really, really talented player who wants to be here and wants to play with Luka because you have Brunson's contract, and Brunson's a good player, but he's not somebody that would be better than potentially a legit number two. I think Brunson on a real deep, like, three-headed monster, like when people try to get these trios together, stuff like that, he is an easy three. I don't think he's a realistic two.
Championship
even at his best.
Three is what I've said all along. Now, I have good news. Are you ready for the good news?
Mm-hmm.
From the 575, I think he's actually going to shock everyone and stay with the Mavs. From the 903, stay. Now, I selectively pick those two because every other person either said gone or Knicks. It is overwhelming. So I see that. But what I see to go along with it, and this is what I was kind of curious about as well, is what do you think Jalen Brunson actually is worth? 877-881-1053. Is because I see multiple people are like, he's not worth it. He's not worth it. He's not worth it. Okay, what did you think he would be worth? Like, if you don't want to go 27.5, or you don't want to go 30 million, or whatever the case may be that the Knicks actually end up offering, we've heard four for 110. What would he have been worth? Because the rumblings are that the Mavericks believe offered a 5-year, $109 million deal, which is essentially in line with what the Fred VanVleet offer was of just about at $22 million a year and just a little bit less. And then they went ahead and went 5 years. Would people be okay with that? If he was like, good for me, do you think Mavs fans would be good with that?
So I don't know if we're seeing a little bit of, you know, you can't fire me, I quit from some of the fans right now that are really like, see you, Brunson. Like, the sentiment right now seems to be, I don't know if that's just some cognitive dissonance, because he's a good player. I think
he is a good player.
The discussion that seems to be out there right now of like, yeah, let him go. Like, I think that's a little ridiculous. But I would have been fine if he was annually 22, 23. Like, once you start getting to 25 is when I'm like, all right, 25, 26. Like, that's too much. Like, I'd be willing to pay, like, he's worth probably 20. I'd be willing to pay a few million extra premium based off of, like, we know how he works with Luka.
Okay.
And yeah. So I'd be willing to overpay a little bit, but, like, when you start getting up to these large numbers, and I know some people on the fan text yesterday and I think today too have talked about how, well, it's not your money. What do you care? It's like, okay, I'm not talking about, like, I don't want to pay him. I don't want him to just have that money in a vacuum, like, outside of context. I'm saying within the context of, like, what it does to their ability to acquire other players and pay other players. I don't want that. I just don't want that albatross hanging on the neck.
Yeah, no, I get that from the 214 max 5 years for $22 million per, which is essentially what they were offering from the 469, 18 to $22 million. And this is the category that I still fall in. And I know this is a terrible way to look at things and run your front office. 4 years, $55 million, like it would have been at the start of the season. I get that. I'm with you, man. I keep thinking about that. I was like, oh, you could have got him and Dorian Finney-Smith for essentially the exact same contract. Yes, I support that 100%. And then if you could figure a way to get out of the long-term Bertans and Tim Hardaway Jr. deals,
great.
Let's go do some things. But unfortunately, that is not the world that we're living in. I get it.
I'd love if, you know, Dak would have been signed at $28 million annually when that's what he would have signed for,
sure.
And the Cowboys didn't want to do it.
Sure.
But once he's become a $40 million player, you can't go, well, yeah, I want him for 28, what he would have signed for 12 months ago. Okay, well, that, you know, what's the line? Like, today's price is not yesterday's price?
Yeah, are you talking about because of gas and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, but I mean, just in general.
Politics!
Yes.
From the 214, 20 to 22 million. From the 817, 18 to 21 million. All right, so here's what I'm seeing, is a lot of people are fairly comfortable in the range that the Mavericks did offer. Like, I know some of them are closer to the 18, 19 million, but I see it time and again on the text right here. 20 million, 21, 22. So I think people would have been comfortable with the deal that they offered. So you're five for 109 or whatever it is. But unfortunately, New York just values him more than that. Is they're like, we'll essentially give you the exact same amount of money, maybe even a little bit more
I was going to say, do you think that was the whole thought process behind the number 110? Was we will go 1 million over their total offer and we'll do it in a year less.
I
wonder if that was how they came to that number.
I do kind of see the appeal, but also I wonder if they just knew and they could like project out ahead of time because they knew that was going to be the offer that the Mavericks were going to make because they were like, hey, we've heard the comp. And that's why I keep bringing up Fred VanVleet is because like we've heard that's the comp all along, like going back even into the season. And I wonder if they projected that out. They're like, we think the Mavs are going to go 5 years, about 21 to 22 million. And so 105, 110, something like that, maybe $105.3 million. And
yeah,
so
I see what you did there.
And so they were like exactly the strategy that you said, but I've also seen multiple people on the fan text were like, don't get your hopes up. These meetings are just to avoid any official tampering charges.
Which that's the big theory a lot of people have.
And I get it because you're like, how could we have tampered? We set up these meetings. Yeah. We even met with the Mavs first. Like, I actually don't offhand know the meeting order. We set up the meeting with the Mavs. How could we have possibly been tampering?
And we have, who is this gentleman here? Let me see. Tim Reynolds. I don't know who he is. He's a blue check.
Okay, so you're trusting the legitimacy.
I'm just going to
let
Bleacher Report aggregated it.
Okay.
And that is that the Heat are not planning to meet with Jalen Brunson today, and they did not have a meeting scheduled per league source.
Oh, okay.
That just came out 10 minutes ago.
So potentially the idea that the Heat
shout out to the 214 for sending that to us.
So they would be like a really, really dark horse in that they're not even involved.
Yeah, like that they would just like not even have a meeting. They would just sign a deal.
God,
blind.
Okay, I will tell you that there's no way that happens, but then I would be infuriated. Like, I'm all about Jalen Brunson, go get your bag and everything, but if he's like, you know what, I'm just going to sign with the Heat. Oh, really? They didn't talk to you or anything? Nah, but they sent me a contract that was the same.
They faxed me over a deal.
Yeah, and so then I would be infuriated about that. And you know what you just started? And this is your fault. And I think deep down you knew this was going to happen.
I hope so.
What? For the 806, Dak is still not a $40 million a year player. You should have known anytime you bring up his name, Romo's name, whatever, people will break off of the main topic that we were talking about.
I didn't mean to. I was trying to draw a parallel.
Okay, well. You failed. How do you feel?
Great. Anytime I can stir up dissension, I'm for it.
I can definitely see that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Don't forget, in the noon o'clock hour today, we will be giving away Texas Rangers tickets. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of basketball. But coming up next, who is the scariest quarterback in the NFL? How do you define that? And is there a new number one? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking, right side. He wants it. A cutback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Is that man right there, Patrick Mahomes, the scariest quarterback in the NFL? And yes, I am already aware of what's happening on the fan text of people saying that Dak is the scariest quarterback in the NFL, but I do not believe that they mean that as a compliment. I meant this more from the complimentary fashion, but I understand how it
like
works.
Like you're scared to game plan for him.
Yes.
Which I still think Dak fits, and you guys want to fight about that, but that's fine.
Whoo, man, maybe we should just have the great Dak roundtable, and you could just argue with people.
I mean, I am more than happy to do that.
Now, I was kind of basing this off of the idea that maybe there's a new number one. Maybe it is not Patrick Mahomes. But then Keyshawn Johnson jumped in the conversation and decided to throw everything up in the air. Here are his top five scariest quarterbacks. Number five, Kyler Murray. Number four, Aaron Rodgers. Number three, Josh Allen. Number two, Patrick Mahomes. And number one, Lamar Jackson. Look, I like Lamar Jackson quite a bit. Some would argue I defend him too much, but I think he is a quality player, and I think I've begun to like him even more because I feel like people unnecessarily hate on him.
I mean, he was pretty bad last year.
Okay, well, he was pretty awesome the year before that. But And he was also hurt, Bobby. Come on.
I mean, like, okay, whatever. I don't want to derail the segment. Go ahead.
All right. We might have to have our own.
Because I will. Yeah, I argue heavily against Lamar.
Okay. Even though he's already got a better resume than Dak.
I mean, you know, by what standard that he has an MVP? Because exactly. Like statistically, he's not better, and he's not a better. Like, I mean, like he's a weapon, but he's not a quarterback.
Oh my God! Did you just reveal your old school quarterback bias?
That's not an old school quarterback. The dude, like, he is not even like the main job of a quarterback is to pass the football,
man. And
he is like not even in the top 20 in the NFL.
Is the main job of the quarterback not to get your team down the field?
He is a weapon. He's not a quarterback. and that's the thing, like it's a gimmick that lasts for a certain amount of time, and then you start seeing things like last year where he has basically an even touchdown interception ratio.
Well, that's because he also got hurt, right? For the first time in his career, he missed any semblance of a lengthy amount of time.
And I mean, Dak got hurt and he was still 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and people want to dog him. So I mean,
hold on, don't take out your Lamar Jackson.
I'm not saying to you, I'm just saying.
Because people are mean to Dak.
No, I'm just saying, you said that his resume is better than Dak. I'm saying, well, okay, last year when they both got hurt and Dak lingered clearly, Lamar got over his for the most part.
No, last year like, Dak was better than Lamar Jackson for sure. I'm just saying Lamar has a better resume because he won an MVP and he's been in the league far less time than Dak Prescott. Look, it worked. I was about to say you're not going to derail me, but clearly you did derail me.
I wasn't trying to. I said we could move on.
And I'm not saying, man, and this is going to blow the text up. I am not saying that Lamar Jackson going into this year is absolutely going to be a better quarterback than Dak because he was not good last year whatsoever. And I do agree with that. My point was going to be, even despite how much I love Lamar Jackson, I think the idea of him being number one on this list is pure foolishness. That was going to be the point that I was going to make that I thought was going to bring everyone together. But instead, we decided to divert into a different direction. So who do you think, from a game planning perspective, is the scariest quarterback in the NFL? Because Bucky Brooks weighed in on this. And then the person who I think is number one kind of weighed in on this as well.
So the question's a little odd. So like, cause I mean, we're not talking about like, this is the list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. The way I interpret this is how difficult they are to game plan for.
Sure.
and you know, how much they terrify you in terms of what they can
sure.
do to you. So to me, the top one in that instance would probably be Josh Allen.
Oh, okay.
Just cause I think Josh Allen like can beat you either way. He can beat you with his arm. He can make any throw across the field. And he's mobile. He can hurt you when the pocket breaks down, and he can, you know, break contain. And so he's somebody that I think is incredibly difficult to game plan. So I'd put him up there probably at one. I think around there, like Aaron Rodgers is similar. He's not quite the mover that he once was, but he's the same sort of skill set that we're talking about here with Josh Allen. And then probably Herbert is in there.
Okay.
And then I would have way above Lamar Kyler. Because Kyler, and I don't even think Kyler's like, I think Kyler's generally overrated by a lot of people.
Do you think he's better than Dak?
No.
Okay.
I think that Kyler, though, the skill set he has, it's not consistent. When it's on, it's terrifying. And he can do the same sort of thing. He can throw it anywhere across the yard. He is incredibly difficult to bring down. He's incredibly difficult to keep contained in the pocket. And so he extends plays that makes things tougher on the defensive backs who are then having to freelance and just run around and follow somebody who's not even following a route anymore. And so I think Kyler is up there. So those are kind of the names that would stand out to me as the names that are truly scary.
All right. Now you, I'm really excited because we actually agree on this, is I think Josh Allen is at the top of
and
my
Mahomes
list.
Is in the list too. He's
sure,
in that collection.
Of course.
It's Mahomes. I think everybody understands.
And that's why, like, Bucky Brooks put Patrick Mahomes at number one. And I definitely understand everyone who says Patrick Mahomes is number one. But I think that Josh Allen has ascended to number one because he has a different level of motivation. Not to say that Patrick Mahomes is not motivated, because clearly he is, because he wants to build on his legacy, wants to get back to the Super Bowl, wants to win the Super Bowl. But when Josh Allen was talking about which hurt more, losing the game or losing the coin toss, he just said, the coin toss. And like, it was just that level of singular focus that I feel like more often than not does end up motivating human beings. Like Patrick Mahomes, he could be motivated because he's like, oh, we lost to the Bengals. Well, that sucks. We need to regroup. Josh Allen still views it as we lost to a coin. And that's why. And yet, look, you can get into your thoughts about overtime and the coin toss and everything like that. But he is like, we lost to a coin. And that is what derailed our season. And I do wonder what kind of motivation that sets with him. And he was already an excellent quarterback to begin with. So Bucky Brooks goes, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert. Which the interesting thing about that to me is Tom Brady is not on either one of those. And we might need to have a side conversation about that. But I think Josh Allen is now the scariest quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I mean, I think like Mahomes is right there. And I think if Mahomes hadn't been dinged so much last year, if people felt like, you know, wow, they're able to take him out for several weeks with, you know, basic coverage concepts like people complained about with Dak for portions of last year. I think that had he not been dinged like that, I think everybody would clearly have Mahomes as the top still, just because it's, you know, nobody had been able to slow him down his first several years. And then last year it finally slowed down a little bit. Whereas Josh Allen, like, we continue to see him defying people adjusting to him, and he keeps rising above and playing above all the different things that teams are throwing at him. And so to me, I think I would have Allen, even though I'd have Mahomes as a better player, a better quarterback, I think I'd have Allen as somebody that would be more scary to try and game plan for.
What about Tom Brady? Because from the 254, Tom Brady has to be included just because of his intelligent reading defenses. Is it the word scary? Because Tom Brady is really, really good. But he doesn't pop up on Brooks' list, Keyshawn's list, in our immediate conversation, and in most of the fan texts. Like, I see a smattering of Tom Brady, but it does kind of hit those other Mahomes, Allen, Herbert.
Okay, like, people hate, or people hate on consistently that Trayvon Diggs, he's a gambler, he gives up. That is a scary player for quarterbacks to deal with. So that's somebody that, even though they beat him and he has weaknesses, that's somebody that's scary to gameplay more than Anthony Brown on the other side, who might be a more stable, consistent coverage guy. Anthony Brown doesn't scare anybody. Trayvon Diggs scares people, even as somebody who's not as probably steady in coverage as Anthony Brown is. So I think that's where that comes from, is that Tom Brady's steady, and yeah, he can process things, but also he's at a point physically at, you know, 44, 45 years old, whatever he is, where, you know, he has limitations. There are things you can do to take him out of the game, and he can't move around the pocket very well. There are limitations to his game that don't exist in the same way for Allen or Mahomes at this point, or Rodgers even.
Okay. All right. That makes sense to me. Where is Dak on your scary meter in a positive way? In a positive way, people, where would you put him kind of on the list then?
I think it remains to be seen how much he bounces back in his mobile this year. Because previously, when he could break the pocket and do different things with his legs, and he was incredibly dangerous throwing on the run, he was one of the best in the NFL throwing on the run. The designed rollouts, that's really difficult to prevent because it's, you know, play action automatically draws in a lot of defense. And then the way he's able to roll out and get ahead of steam and how accurate he is throwing on the run, that's a really difficult thing to prepare for teams because of all the challenges it presents. So those sort of things made Dak really tough to game plan for the first few years. Last year, where he was clearly limited in how much he could move, you saw that defenses were attacking that and trying to play off of that and game plan around that. And so, to me, it just depends on how much better does he look. Is he going to run this year? Is he going to be a threat to run this year even? Does he look more mobile? If he is, then that changes my answer. But as of last year, he wouldn't rank around these players.
It seems like, at least based on what everyone's saying, they're leaning into that idea that that is going to be the case, that he is going to be moving. Maybe it's not just running, but like moving when he throws more. Do you at least get, like, based on rhetoric, what that actually means? I don't know.
Well, and I mean, also, it's just like, it doesn't, you don't even have to run. It just has to be the threat of it. It's like with play action. You don't have to even, you don't have to necessarily have a good running game. It just has to be the threat of they might hand it off here. And that's what draws defenses in. I think it's similar. If they felt like, I think defense felt like Dak isn't going. And Dak isn't moving the same way. We're not concerned about this. We don't have to, you know, the same way you do with Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, where you kind of got to, like, you know, happy feet and pattern. Like, you can't just, you don't want to be caught flat-footed, or you don't want to be caught over-pursuing. There were no concerns about that with Dak last year like there had been in the past. And Dak was a strong runner. We've seen it. Dak stiff-arming Josh Norman in years past and things like that. And so he did present challenges to defenses outside of his arm. And the fact that that disappeared, I think, made him a little more one-dimensional last year and made it tough to game plan for. But I think when we've seen him out at these OTA practices and we've seen him at minicamp, he's moving more like pre-injury Dak in these practices, more than he did even last year. Broaddus had talked about that watching him at training camp last year, even before the season, he's like, man, it seems to take a little bit for him to get going when he's kind of on the run, more so than it had in the past. And Brian thought it looked different. This year, he looks a little slimmed down, and he's moving like Dak used to. And so I think there were limitations, and the calf obviously didn't help that.
Quick question. Where does Joe Burrow fit into this equation? Because, I mean, obviously they had a hell of a year, and he's got all of the swagger that comes along with it. But do you think he has the requisite game to come along with it?
Yeah, so again, I think, like, we're not talking about necessarily who's the best, no. but difficulty. Like, there are some things in Joe Burrow's game that don't exist that defenses don't have to account for.
Do you think he's better than he is scary then?
Yes.
I guess if that question makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think he's in a vacuum better than he is scary. But I think when you also include like the weapons he has there with like Chase and Higgins and like guys like that is also what makes him more terrifying is those connections. But overall, I think that Burrow's just somebody who's, again, sort of like on that Brady level where it's like, he's really tough, and he's one of the best, and I'd take him over Kyler Murray, you know, but he's not somebody who I think is scarier to game plan for than Kyler Murray.
What do you think about this range? Because these three came in back to back to back, and they're all in kind of the general same range for scariness for Dak. 10 to 12, 11, 12 to 15. Would you put him more in that range?
I would put him lower than that last year because of his limitations. If he's moving like he has in the past, I'd put him slightly higher than that. So if you want to average it out and say until we know what he is, then yeah, probably around there, 10 to 12.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, our new baseball segment. If you want to try to name it, you certainly can at 877-881-1053. But today, Falling in Glove with Bobby Bell. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. I want to give you some quick NBA updates. Gambo out in Phoenix is saying that Milwaukee, Dallas, and Brooklyn are among the teams interested in JaVale McGee, but he supposedly wants a multi-year deal and that Miami is now also in the mix for Jay Crowder. I guess I should just say in the mix since we heard earlier that Miami was actually not in the mix for Jalen Brunson, but might be in the mix for Jay Crowder.
But now, is Jay Crowder trying to avoid the appearance of tampering?
Yes.
So
that's right.
Yeah.
That
might be the difference in their
drop
interest.
The hammer on these tampering issues. Now, Colby weighed in for our brand new baseball segment, and he has a couple of suggestions for your new segment. It could be called Belting Balls. Mm. It could be called Belted, which I kind of like that one, or Bobby's Crushed Balls.
So ooh, I like that.
These are, which is interesting. So all of those viable options or Falling in Glove with Bobby Bell.
I think we'll revisit some of those names tomorrow because I know you've got some others too.
Oh, I do.
And so I think we'll include it. But I think I've already planned for Falling in Glove.
Okay.
And so.
Well, then do you plan the baseball segment differently depending on the title?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the topics between Falling in Glove and Bobby's Crushed Balls would be wildly different.
Okay. Well, here it is. Hit the music! This is the same music we usually play. I feel like this is not unique music.
Thanks, Hagee. Rangers had a chance to get to 500 again yesterday. Chance to get their first road sweep of three games or more since the first time since 2019. Did they do it, Hagee?
Well, I mean, I already know the answer.
Did they do it?
Based on the way you're saying it, no.
They didn't. Nope. Nope.
What?
Nope.
Well, I guess I knew that.
They weren't crushing many balls yesterday. Just five hits yesterday, one run. They lose this game 2-1. Zach Greinke, you know, had a hold on them for a lot of the game. But this is like got to be the most frustrating run for a Rangers pitcher in recent memory, what Dane Dunning is going through. So I was looking up some stuff yesterday. Dane Dunning, this month of June, went at least 6 innings and allowed 2 runs or fewer in 4 starts. And the Rangers lost all 4 of them.
What? Oh.
In fact, the Rangers have lost 8 straight games that Dane Dunning has started. And they've scored 1 or 0 runs in 5 of his starts this year.
Do you think he walks in to the clubhouse and somebody's like, "Hey, Dane, good. So don't even talk to me." And he's like, "I don't want to hear it. If you play offense, I don't want to hear from you."
Yeah,
well, like, I guess if you just didn't hit, not play offense.
No, but I mean,
that's not really the way that works.
I mean, it's got to be. And I was talking to Sandler about this. I was like, what? Like, that's just luck, right? Like, there can't be any explanation for that.
So you're not saying that low key the Rangers hate Dane Dunning? And
No. But I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Kevin Millwood used to have that issue too? I think when he was here.
I know that was a thing. I don't remember who it was that ran
somebody,
into that
it was somebody
though.
Around that time of Millwood though.
Okay.
And on the opposite side of it, like I know notoriously, I'm just thinking over the years, like remember in it was 98, Rick Helling winning 20 games with like a mid 4 ERA or whatever it was, where it was just like they always scored for Rick Helling. And then Scott Feldman was like that, I think, around like 09. Where he was winning a lot of games, even at time. I mean, he pitched well early in the season, but he won a lot of games with a ton of run support. And it's just interesting to me whenever we see like a pattern over a whole season of like they don't score when this guy pitches, they do score when he pitches. And I wish we could nail down what causes that.
Can I give you my stat of the day?
Yes.
I don't want to infringe on your segment too much.
Please
do. Stat of the day: the Rangers are 1-4 this year in games where they had the chance to get to 500.
That's depressing.
I didn't say it was my positive stat of the day, just stat of the day.
Way to bring things down. So the 2022 ESPY nominees were announced this week.
Oh.
You care
about the ESPYs?
No, I don't. Okay. But I care about it for this segment because this is great.
Okay.
I love this. So ESPN sent out a press release just, hey, we're, you know, the ESPYs are here, yada, yada, yada. And, they have the complete list of 2022 nominees that can be viewed, and here's press release below. They have the section Best MLB Player.
Oh,
and
Trout.
You remember like the Mavericks won for like Best Team or whatever, and that was awesome. That was great. So this is Best MLB Player. Mike Trout is not nominated.
What?
We've got Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Bryce Harper. Makes sense. Aaron Judge.
Sure.
Makes sense. The fourth slot, you would think Mike Trout, right?
Yeah, I would think that. This
How about
somebody dumb?
Jorge Soler.
What? He gets the nod at a Mike Trout?
It doesn't say like best moment or like, you know, the definition is best MLB player. And I'm sure it's for the MVP. It's for the MVP performance. It's for the home run. Like, you know,
stupid.
But like, if you look at Jorge Soler's numbers this year in Miami, he's hitting .216, 13 home runs. His OPS is .724. Not been a great year for Jorge Soler. Certainly not somebody that you would think would be the, you know, nominee for best MLB player. But again, I mean, that's just about hitting 3 home runs in the World Series, I guess.
Now I hope he wins. I hope we bit this all the way up and they're like,
but if he wins, like clearly they just need to like change the net. Cause hasn't that always been the argument about MVP? It's not the best though. It says most valuable.
Yeah.
Like this very clearly says best MLB player and they are putting Jorge Soler on there, which I think is absolutely hilarious.
From the 469, I dropped Jorge Soler from my fantasy team last week.
That's how bad he's been, that guy had to drop him. You know, I think there's no greater indictment than I had to drop you from my fantasy team.
I mean, it does feel like a burn, right?
It really does. Like, I know players don't care, but I do remember when I would play fantasy, like dropping somebody, just being like, man, I hope this guy knows how much he sucks.
Do you think there's any, like Kevin Durant jumps to mind, do you think there's any like professional athletes so insecure they like scour the waiver wires of different fantasy leagues and they're like, how am I only 99% owned in this league or how am I only 85% in this league?
Yeah, so I think that same person would be the one that like Twitter searches their name. Like when you see them go after somebody when they weren't even tagged by that person.
Have you ever done that?
Have I ever Twitter searched my name, or have I been hit by an athlete?
No. Have you ever Twitter searched your own name?
No.
Okay. Me neither.
No. But also, like, I know some players unfairly get tagged as, like, you searched your name, but a lot of times it is their name gets used and then somebody replies and tags, then they snitch tag.
Yeah.
And so that can happen. But, like, yeah, I would think Kevin Durant would be way up there, but I mean, he's going to be owned in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah.
So it more like,
but if it wasn't 100%, don't you think he'd be like, what the hell is this?
Like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa definitely did that. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was definitely outraged at how many people like owned him in fantasy leagues.
And he's outraged for other people on his team that they're probably like, hey man, could you like not include me in this?
Exactly. No. Another update to the Freddie Freeman saga.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Doug Gottlieb tweet that went viral yesterday was like, hey, Freddie Freeman got upset because this last weekend in Atlanta, he found out that his agent withheld the final offer from the Braves, which like matched the Dodgers. And the agent, Casey Close, he delivered a statement to Sports Illustrated on Wednesday night. He said, there's no truth whatsoever to what Doug Gottlieb recklessly tweeted, and I would testify to that under oath. We are currently evaluating all legal options in this matter.
Okay, that holds more weight for me because the first part of it is like, oh, of course I didn't say that. Like, what's he going to do? Come out and be like, no, he's right. You got me there, Doug. Good job. But when he says we're going to evaluate legal options, that feels like it's
But what if he doesn't actually do it? He can say that and then not actually, if he's not willing to actually go to court over it.
Then I think it's a nonsense.
And even still, what if it was just like a phone call? Like, all right, we'll match the offer. But there was nothing ever sent over. So he can say, I'll testify that under oath because there's no evidence of it. He's a lawyer after all.
Do you think, let's just say this, do you think the agent is lying or bending the truth?
I would say he's potentially bending the truth, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Doug Gottlieb has it like 90% right, but maybe the exact wording of what he said isn't accurate, and that's what Casey Close is pushing back against. Because that often happens when somebody's kind of speaking out of turn, just like, I heard that, you know, this happened or these interactions happened, it's things you're not present for. A lot of times it's that game of telephone and you lose details and you're saying things that are not completely accurate in the process.
Do you have more stuff to get to, or do you want to hear an amazing Doug Gottlieb story involving Corey?
I do want to hear an amazing Doug Gottlieb story, so hit me with that, but then I will quickly have one more note for you after that.
At the Super Bowl several years ago when it was in Houston, Corey was definitely drunk, and you know how it goes. There's like all kinds of people everywhere. And I don't even remember who Doug Gottlieb was talking to, but like Corey just wandered over and it was just Gottlieb and this one other person. He was standing like close enough that you're like, hey.
Like, hey, what's
and
up?
And Doug Gottlieb turned around and goes, can I help you with something? And he goes, no, I just like really like hearing you guys talk. And Doug's like, I appreciate that, but this is like a kind of a private conversation. And Corey's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
You should have just gone, oh, sorry, I thought you were chappy.
Yeah, and then just walked off. It was amazing. And I was like, oh my God, Corey.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is something that this factoid, the one that I can't reveal yet, there's the stunning fact here is what caused somebody to go on Reddit and look up who are the leaders in MLB over the last 162 games played. So if you've had some injury hampered seasons and the last 162 games you've played have been spread over 4 years, that would be your last 162 games. So this person on Reddit dove in and tried to like stack up as many of these statistics as they could for the leaders in the clubhouse. And so when you look at these numbers, they tallied who are the home run leaders over their last 162 games played. And this was 2 days ago, so this could have changed some. But you look at some of these names. You know, we'll start with like the middle of the pack where it's 45 home runs, Salvador Perez, 47 Tatis, 48 Yordan Alvarez, 48 Pete Alonso, 50 Mike Trout, 51 Kyle Schwarber. Tied at the top with 52 home runs, Aaron Judge. Do you know who in their last 162 games is tied with Aaron Judge for the most home runs in MLB with 52?
Man, because Pete Alonso was going to be my guess. Shohei? I don't know.
Shohei's at 40.
Oh, wow. So we're I don't know.
Byron Buxton.
What? Oh yeah, because he gets hurt a lot.
And there's like, there's not a time in the and that's spread over 3 seasons. And there's not a time over the last 3 seasons where he's hit like 20 home runs. It's been like 17, 20, 19. And so it looks like just in a vacuum, man. Like, oh, that's not that many. But when you spread it over his last 162 games, Byron Buxton has hit as many home runs as Aaron Judge.
Wow. And that's why everyone loves him so much. And they're like, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. And you're like, yeah.
Now, what's also real quick note, because I know we got to go. The leader in walks. Second is Kyle Schwarber with 126 ahead of obviously Juan Soto, who gets 162. A walk a game over his last 162.
Holy
That's Bonds-like.
Cow. Wow. Excellent job today. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. 877-881-1053. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Or are they the Knicks? Let us know. We'll do it all next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.